Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight, where we will cover finally this news. This woman who doesn't like the comments on her TikTok account. And I've been following this story for many days. I knew about it, but I wasn't talking about it on the show because I was like, okay, well, this is just a spice. This is just a conversation about cuisine and spices. It's like it was memeing at the millions and millions. And I was like, how are we going to approach this story? What is the interest here? But it veered into a racial revolution type of thing, where she's attributed a racist intent in her treatment of spices. And now we have fact checks being added by Twitter and the Community Notes crew that explain to black people, no, it's not racist for white people to use fresh spices. It's part of their culinary tradition. This has reached a racial threshold, and therefore we must talk about it here on JFG Tonight. It is some of the most hilarious thing that has ever happened. So it all starts with this TikToker making her video in response to a user of hers who was saying, please season your chicken. And I can't explain to you totally how deep it goes, okay? But we're going to go through the whole thing. There are so many layers to this. But it starts with this, please season your chicken. So let's see what she had to say against this.
This is a PSA to the seasoning police on this app.
So she calls them the seasoning police.
In your brain, you only view seasoning as things like garlic powder, onion powder, or maybe something like rosemary. If this is what you view as seasoning and seasoning only, let me pose you a question. What does this come from? Granulated garlic, what is that? Garlic? Onion powder, what does that come from? Dehydrated onion? Let's take a look at the spice rub. Dehydrated garlic, onion, and bell pepper.
I sauteed those bell peppers along with my onion.
And so now she shows that in her original video, she did use garlic, onions, and pepper. But they turned out to be a fresh one, or they were in a can. In other words, they were not in the powder form. So she's trying to make the case, which is a reasonable case, that you don't need dried spices if you have other techniques to spice. It is not, spices are not exclusively the dried thing that you can buy at Costco.
And garlic.
What is so funny to me is if I had just doused my chicken in this rub alone, the seasoning police would be out of my comments. They wouldn't even be in there. But the second it's fresh garlic or fresh onion or fresh bell pepper, it's automatically not seasoning. And let me just say one last thing. If you're one of those people that loves to watch cooking competitions and a judge says something is under seasoned, they're talking about salt. Under seasoning your food means there's not enough salt in it. Salt is gonna bring out the flavor of onion, the flavor of garlic, the flavor of whatever random spice.
She has this kind of Karen, condescending tone to her, which would annoy me if she was specifically speaking to me. But I can let this pass because I understand she's speaking to a low IQ crowd. But you know how women, because they are kind of evolutionarily adapted to speak to children, they go a little too far on the display. Salt will, they put these displays so that it's visual. So for a child, that would be perfect. Now, if I was a consumer of her TikTok, I might be annoyed, but I'm not. So I understand that she's speaking to the lowest of lows of society, and I can understand that these visual movements of hers are important at triggering their low IQ brain to pay attention.
Rub that you have. And let me just say that if your food tastes a little off, it's not because you need to add more powder. It's most of the time because you need to add more salt or some sort of acid like lemon juice or vinegar. Okay?
Okay, so mic drop moment. She's basically saying to the spice police, basically, you guys are annoying. Stop annoying me. Now, it all veers into a race question eventually, because of many comments that she gets and eventually some videos. A comment like this, Frank Lotion says, y'all, she's talking about us. Brown hand, deeper brown hand, black hand. So the black community felt targeted. Some people felt targeted. They felt that there was an inherent racism into her video. Micronova says, watch me wash my chicken in soap. We'll see that video later. I'll get there. It goes down many layers deep. Micronova says, white people don't season their food. And he does it in a special accent, which I can't reproduce. Sorry. August Sorrento was saying on Twitter, so she's in this kind of interaction. Her video is becoming mimetic. And now she's accused of being racially motivated by white supremacy in talking down to black people about the way they spice their things. And August says, vid probably almost 20 million views. She's still fighting them. She's still pretending she isn't specifically referring to blacks and replying to accusations 20 minutes ago. She's going on a massive troll or is one of those accidental racists who fell into accidental pattern noticing. I wasn't aware that there was a thing with spices and the different people, white people, black people. I didn't know that this could mount to a racial conflict, but it does seem based on these comments. So here's how she's responding. So someone on Twitter says, this is what happens when racial narcissism meets racial blindness. And I think it's a beautiful explanation of what's happening here. We have on one side, black people have been incentivized by the media to think of their race as being the center of their life, and therefore any attacks that goes their way or not their way will be interpreted through the lens of race, since it's so advantageous to be a victim, so advantageous in our culture to be a victim. And on the other hand, you have white people who have been trying to always act like race doesn't exist, don't see race. And so you have the mix of the two here in a clash where Frank Lotion says, y'all, she's talking about us. And Zoe Barry comes with the racial blindness position from the white woman. I'm specifically talking to the people who leave comments regarding lack of seasoning on cooking videos where people use different techniques. I literally use dried aromatics from time to time. If this was an attack on people who use dried aromatics / spices, I'd literally be a hypocrite, lol. So that is the I have a black husband defense, but in the spice world, I use dried aromatics sometimes. So how could I be anti-black? I'm getting confused here. How could I be anti-dried aromatic? I use dried aromatics. I have a black friend. Go away, says Jeff. Bro, she's referring to the people criticizing her as seasoning police. She is flipping the progressive racial script and using their vocabulary, but inverted. She knows what she's doing. So you perceive in her thing a reversal of the BLM language of the... So basically here, Frank Lotion would be a kind of inverted Derek Chauvin crushing her neck as a white woman, keeping her from breathing the fresh herbs that she wants to breathe. We're going to get there. You know what? There is a video out there that made me think maybe this crazy 6D chess explanation is the one. But so let's go through the whole story. So I documented this this morning and I said, we have attained Schrödinger's Karen and it's a beautiful time to be alive. Let me explain. There are two forces at play here. One force shapes what white people say about race and completely clears their language of any potential racist interpretation, no matter how indirect or remote such implications might be of any of their words. The second force is orthogonal to the first and is formed by the paranoid interpretations of society which sees racism by white people in pretty much every situation. Combined with this force comes the absolute acceptance of any racist statements by black people toward white people. These two opposite forces form the Carino racistic field, whose quantum is the threshold detection of a single event of Karensplaining. A few days ago, scientists were successful at colliding two beams of this field with a total energy content of 3.61 tech, teracarons. The experiment was performed at the TikTok Particle Accelerator. The results are stunning. The scientists have concluded that Karen quanta behave completely different to common intuition in that they exist in a superposition of states between one state being Karensplaining because racist, and a second state being simply Karensplaining with absolutely no racist intent. This superposition of states is maintained as long as the Karen speak isn't observed and interpreted by another entity. Reality, it would seem, is in the eye of the beholder. It made me think about quantum physics, the degree of uncertainty that was tied to, well, is she a secret racist? I mean, I had a hard time even considering the hypothesis because I found it ridiculous at first. But then there are bad arguments that stemmed on the internet. Here's one. And this one got reviewed by Fact Check on Twitter. I said, okay, this is reaching interesting proportions where a fact check is now explaining to black people that it is part of white people's culinary traditions to use fresh herbs instead of dried spices. Will someone also take the time to explain that herbs grow in a garden and have been historically available fresh much more readily than dried for any common man not engaged in long-distance commerce? And look at this. there's the fact check. We'll get to it. But she was originally stating, this is the Anima, so apparently a culinary professional of some kind, the Honey Ma. White people not seasoning their food actually really is based in racism and classism, lol. The reason white people don't season is because historically, rich white people began to think seasoning was for brown people who had to season their food because they couldn't afford better tasting meat. They also associated unseasoned food with cleanliness and moral purity, calling it clean or simple eating. In medieval Europe, the rich felt that once spices became affordable for everyone instead of just the wealthy, they no longer wanted them. So basically, white people don't season their food because their ancestors thought seasoning was for poor people and brown people. Lol. There's no evidence for this at all. Why? Anyways, you know, why would someone in France or in England or in Europe in general, why would someone think about, do black people spice their food? They weren't seeing a single African around them. You had to travel a whole continent before you would see your first African. Why would it cross their mind to be racist against brown people and to have a whole conception of their culinary history? Forget it. Royal says, that fact check has to be a troll. Well, here's the fact check. A preference for fresh whole ingredients over dried spices came out of the French culinary practices in the 16th century, a time and location where race was not a factor, but class was. And I would tend to agree that this fact check may be part trolling in that spices, the idea of spicing food probably didn't emerge in the 16th century in France. But they cite NPR and it's like, I don't know. I'm not going to go check what NPR says about it, but it seems very unlikely that, you know, the idea of fresh herbs has emerged in France in the 16th century. I'm pretty sure spices existed before. Now, you can argue, probably, and that's what they would argue, to argue that it's not a troll, that it's still correct that French culinary practices have had impacts in Europe, and that somewhere along the 16th century, there might have been an edification of spices being the freshest possible. Perhaps that is what they would argue. I don't know. It's not important. What's important is, holy shit, are we in a multi-layered set of bilateral accusations here around race and around food practices, all of this stemming from a woman who originally seemed just concerned about the right to fresh spices. T.S. Apostolos says, spicing is a way of preservation all the way back to biblical times. Yeah, this is an aspect that wasn't discussed yet in this whole thing. But spices, like salt, is a very good strategy to dehydrate the target, and it can be extending the life of meat for years. The jambon de Bayonne, which is a kind of French prosciutto, people can keep it almost forever. It's so salty that there's no bacteria that can survive in there. So that's another thing that wasn't discussed directly, but that should be mentioned, which is spices that were dried, many of them were produced, and the commerce was happening internationally for them, and there were paths down to India bringing spices to Europe. There was also the local farming through gardening and through just the little plants that can survive in Europe. Those were two ways of getting spices. But the reason there was a commercial motivation for spices was not just the taste. It was the preservation methods. Mike Renova has sent a super chat. He says, Owen Benjamin had a multi-day bit on how butt shower toilet birthdays were gay. Butt shower toilet birthdays, they would certainly be gay. I've never heard those words put together, but there's a couple of red flags in this series of words that would make the activity gay as a whole. It's not. Some people took it as a personal insult. It's not gay to use a birthday. Well, what is a bidet? What is a bidet? A bidet. A bidet? Okay, so why did you write it as birthday? Bidet, some people took it as a personal insult. It's not gay to use a bidet. If they got offended, then they may feel guilty at cleansing stimulation. Bidets are like washing your butt in the shower, simple as spice offenders equals same. Well, Mike Renova here, my position on the bidet is that it's a weird thing. I'm personally annoyed by it. I don't know why you would need a special localized shower for your ass. That is just my view. Now, you want to do the bidet thing, just don't annoy people about it. You know, just keep it under the radar. You can be a sleeping cell of the bidet world. Why is it that you guys always have to put it in our face? Please get the fuck out of here with your bidet arguments. I don't want to hear them anymore. Now, Stephen J. James sent me a video which totally changed my perspective on this woman. And suddenly, she shifted from being an innocent lady, stuck in a racial quagmire that she had done nothing to get in, and that she was a poor victim of the hyper-racialized perception of the modern world. But Stephen J. James sent me this video, and this totally changed my perspective. I started feeling the Schrödinger racist Karen. Look at this. Because people have been looking through the archives about every video they could find about black people handling chicken and spicing chicken. And they have found what could be the reference that eventually leads this woman to dismiss the garlic onion powder strategy.
I'm going to show y'all how I clean my motherfucking chicken. This is how my grandma showed me, my mama showed me, and this is how I do it.
My motherfucking chicken. The chicken is in the sink. This is a sink where you have sewer water potentially burping up, where you are cleaning dirty dishes that is accumulating the list of bacteria you could think of as living in your trash. And she's putting the chicken in there. First rule, don't put chicken in a sink. What the fuck is this? Use a clean surface that is not a surface for cleaning other things, that doesn't accumulate the crap of other things. You cannot really sterilize a kitchen sink. On top of it, she puts Clorox.
For me. So you're going to put in a little bit of Clorox. It has to be main brand Clorox bleach oil. It will not taste right.
Main brand Clorox. Well, Go Away says that's why she's adding the bleach, JF. Yeah, but two wrongs don't make a right. In cuisine, two wrongs don't make a right, Go Away. Clorox, it's not going to kill you. As a scientist, I can confirm that small concentrations of Clorox diluted in massive amounts of water is just chloride. It's really what it is. And chloride is something that you have inside of you already. You need a certain amount of chloride. But it's not because it won't kill you that you should use it. I mean, it's going to have a textural effect onto the chicken. It's going to remove stuff from the chicken. I mean, we can see all the water becoming blurry. What do you think that is? It's your chicken losing its chickenness. You are treating your chicken to a massive treatment. Mama JF says, just like what they did to Jesse. Indeed, it is the case that two black people have attacked Jesse Smollett. That is true. And they did use Clorox as part of the process.
Once you put your Clorox, you're going to take a little bit, I mean, maybe about two drops of the Dawn dish detergent. Don't put a lot. That's people messed up.
Are you fucking kidding me? She adds detergent. In case you haven't already ruined the chicken with the Clorox, now you have soap with flavor in it, with others in it. Is this trolling? I don't think it's trolling. She seems serious.
I bet you only need two drops. Once you do that, you're going to soak it around inside of your mix, move it around until you see the water look a little bit hazy. That means the chicken is now clean. Then you're going to rinse it. Right here, my chicken started going down my drainer. I had to bring that shit back up because it was going down.
What the fuck? You just cleaned your chicken with Clorox. Then you dropped your chicken wings in your drain with the thing that destroys, the mixer or whatever. Now your chicken has gone down the dirtiest possible thing in your house, the drain, which is if you open a drain just inches below the sink, you will see there's basically a form of sewer cheese that grows in drains. It's like you can scoop it out. It is, there's bacteria in there of the worst kind. There might even be water from your toilet that made it up there at some point, seeding the local cheese with its own intestinal bacteria. You literally dipped your recently cleaned chicken wing in your shit.
And I cannot lose my chicken because I only got a little bit. So once I got all my chicken back to the top, of course, I go ahead and hit a little bit of water.
Well, good. We get some watering. By the way, just watering the chicken, I don't do this because there is a lot of effort invested in by the chicken producer to air dry the chicken. Precisely because water will come and inflate the chicken, dilute the taste, dilute the texture, soften the texture of the skin around the chicken. So dry air, drying of the chicken is the best practice to get a good skin texture and a good taste. Just dip those wings in water for less than 10 seconds. And the water has already penetrated, diluted all of the salts in the meat, all of the molecules in the meat get diluted. And you can see physically the chicken being inflated. You just blown your chicken with water. Not a good idea.
Rinse it off. And then once I rinse it off, I'm going to go ahead and now start the seasoning. I'm going to put my complete seasoning on it.
No joke. She is seasoning her chicken wings in the sink, in the water that has been dipped in the wastewater of the sewers, and that may have still flavors of Clorox and Dawn still hanging in there. She's just dropping the spices.
Just a little bit of garlic powder, a little bit of onion powder, and then of course my Lowry seasoning salt. Once I do that,
now this is the point where Schrodinger Karen rose in my head. Listen to what she says.
On it, just a little bit of garlic powder.
A little bit of garlic powder.
A little bit of onion powder.
A little bit of onion powder.
And then, of course, my Lowry seasoning salt.
And a general seasoning, Lowry seasoning, kind of rub. Those are the three elements that our original Karen mentioned. And so this made me realize, is it possible that the TikToker Karen saw this video? Because it's a very mimetic video that has been spread across the internet a lot. And is it possible that she saw this video and when she was talking down against garlic powder, onion powder, and rub, that ultimately it was this video that she had in mind. It was this video that she was thinking about. Speaker's Corner says, JF Brett Weinstein's plagiarism autism activated. I mean, what are the chances? I'm a man of probabilities. What are the chances that if you were to do a general critique, that you would converge toward the exact same three spices that someone else uses? I mean, you will have something else in your mind that will come. Maybe rosemary, maybe smoked paprika, maybe paprika. But no, the three exact spices that she mucked were the three spices used in that sink of horrors.
Once I do that, I'm going to mix it up really, really good, and I'm going to put it inside of a bowl, put it in the refrigerator for about 15, 20 minutes, let it cool down, and I'll be back for part two of how I cook it.
This is disgusting. I almost vomited when I first looked at this video. I almost vomited. I was feeling totally unsettled. Holy shit. What are the chances that this is good at the end? And so now I found myself, like, re-listen to this video and imagine that this girl has seen the video of the garlic powder, onion powder. Imagine that in her head she's talking to a black person who puts Clorox on her chicken wing. And man, it changes your perspective completely.
This is is a PSA to the seasoning police on this app. If in your brain you only view...
So police, as Go Away was mentioning earlier, you know, a BLM reference, you are oppressing me. Racism is possible against white people.
Seasoning as things like garlic powder, onion powder, or maybe something like rosemary. If this is what you view as seasoning and seasoning only, let me pose you a question. What does this come from? Granulated garlic, what is that? Garlic? Onion powder, what does that come from? Dehydrated onion? Let's take a look at the spice.
Now her condescending tone takes a whole racial meaning.
From dehydrated garlic, onion, and bell pepper.
I sauteed those bell peppers.
A new guy says the big irony in this. He says, none of these morons are fit to make food. This is the most fascinating thing in the modern world is that, you know, none of these people... None of these people know how to cook food. And yet, here they are throwing stuff at each other, having their videos against each other's videos and commenting. None of these people should be listened to or followed for their culinary talents.
Along with my onion and garlic.
So the hands on the hips, white woman stare. Very intimidating for someone who's been victimized by slavery.
What is so funny to me is if I had just doused my chicken in this rub alone, the seasoning police would be out of my comments. They wouldn't even be in there. But the second it's fresh garlic or fresh onion or fresh bell pepper.
So now bragging about the fact that her white privilege allows her to purchase these fresh herbs at higher price.
Pepper. It's automatically not seasoning. And let me just say one last thing. If you're one of those people that loves to watch cooking competitions and a judge says something is under seasoned, they're
So now bragging about her higher culture because she does watch Gordon Ramsay.
Talking about salt. Under seasoning your food means there's not enough salt in it. Salt is gonna bring out the flavor of onion, the flavor of garlic, the flavor of whatever random spice rub that you have. And let me just say that if your food tastes a little off, it's not because you need to add more powder. It's most of the time because you need to add more salt or some sort of acid like lemon juice or vinegar.
So now, condescending on the question of acid. Some people were telling me today, and people are saying it in the chat, Karen is an anti-white slur. I've seen that interpretation. Let me tell you that I don't fully experience it as an anti-white slur. Still, even if it was a slur, I would allow myself to make jokes about it because I think it's an interesting... I know that for some people, it is an anti-white slur. But to me, Karen started on the internet as a meme about complaining women in general. And to me, the meme originally had no racist meaning. Eventually, they tried sliding it onto a specific case of a specific Karen who was calling the police because she saw a black man who was fascinated by birds in the park, and the black man just wanted to observe birds and they had a little friction in their interaction, and she called the police. So that would be the Karen that they tried making, but the term Karen existed before. And the term Karen, there were mass Karens, there were COVID Karens, there were a lot of things before it became this racial connotation of Karen is kind of the white woman who is doubtful about black people and will put them in trouble using calls to the police. To me, this was only an extended to concede the term Karen to only this dimension would be abandoning the term to the left when it wasn't a leftist term to begin with. So I don't like conceding to the left this term. To me, Karen, what it truly means and what it meant from the start is a complaining woman, a woman who has some conception of rule breaking that you've violated. She's a complaining woman, and it is mostly about the female dynamic, not so much about the white dynamic, although eventually it became that. So All this to say, personally, I don't think it's inherently anti-European to talk about Karens. And so I started making memes, starting with this one. Fresh garlic and thyme. You wouldn't get it. So our symbol of white extremism here, the Joker, a guy who just goes crazy and wants to murder everyone. Perhaps in the TikTok lady with her fresh herbs, perhaps she is like the Joker inside her mind. And she's like, you guys don't understand my relationship to fresh herbs. I made another meme following someone pointing out that it's fascinating how suddenly you have all these people on the internet saying white people's culture sucks, white people don't spice their food. And it's like, I thought we didn't have culture. I thought a couple of months ago you guys' position was white people culture does not even exist. There is no such thing as white culture. Now there's white culture, but you don't like it. And so I made a meme of the two buttons. White people have no culture on the left, or white people's culture sucks because no spices. Which one is it, left? Which one is it that you want us to click? Because you can't click both. All in all, what a fascinating experience reviewing this whole thing. I don't have a conclusion to give on this. You know, the best thing that was said about it is this is what happens when racial narcissism meets racial blindness. And this shows the unsustainability of the system we've set up, where black people can be obsessed about race and can value it to the point of making it a center of their identity, and where white people are being told you should act like it doesn't exist, but deep down inside you know it exists, and deep down inside you're going to make all sorts of choices in your life that are based in race. But you can't. You must find all of the phrasings possible to avoid leaving a racist intent be displayed. And so that's the problem, the quagmire of the Schrödinger's Karen. It's that this girl is saying nothing racial, but it ends up being interpreted by an oversensitized society in that direction. Darl says, she said she's Mexican, JF. Well, and yeah, and you know, I look at her and if she's a Mexican, she's a Mexican with European heritage. Because she could be part Mexican, she could be part European, she could be part Jewish, but she doesn't look like one of those Mexican with a heavy interbreeding, heavy, you know, how do they call it? Heavy race mixing. She doesn't look like one of those Mexicans who have a lot of Native ancestry and African ancestry. So no matter what she is, really, and it doesn't matter to this whole conversation, because people tend to forget that a Mexican could be racist. So where does this fact come in here? I'm Mexican. Well, okay. What do we do with this? I mean, it doesn't change the conversation fundamentally, but so many of you, so many people were coming to me to say, Jeff, she's Jewish, without any facts supporting this. It was like, oh, I'd like to know, but tell me, where do you get this? And JF, she's Mexican. Okay, but what does that change to the conversation? I mean, she's going to be judged as white by the people. So that's what matters, ultimately. Very interesting case. Those are my final words on this case. If you would like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey Super Chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. Don't forget to add a payment method to your Odyssey account if you would like to send super chats. Miami Beach declares state of emergency amid spring break chaos. Miami Beach has declared a state of emergency and implemented a curfew for Sunday night until Monday morning due to the violent shoutings and chaos on the streets as spring break kicks off. Sorry about the audio. So they are destroying cars, causing general chaos. Yo, why are these legs so exposed? It's like you expose legs when they're beautiful. There's a point at which the size of your legs justifies hiding them. And this is why, personally, I, you know, even if Florida, you would think that Florida is a right wing place with Ron DeSantis, but no amount of social conservatism at the top is going to change the fundamental situation on the ground. What is the fundamental situation on the ground? Florida is hot. It's a climate that attracts people who live outside and break stuff. That is why if you take a plane and you go at the equator and you just fly over the equator, you fly over the hottest part of the earth. You see populations of poor people that stack, that overpopulate, and they don't live in houses, and they survive. They survive in... people were noting that some slurs have been used in the video. Of course, it is not a video that I show for the purpose of endorsing. It is a video that is brought for news review and to understand the world. And it is allowed to report the news, and those were events that happened in Florida. So yeah, in the end, you have to escape any place where people can survive without a home and a car. That means going toward the North Pole, and you get to colder and colder climate until you reach those parts where only someone with a long-term strategy truly can survive because it's getting too cold in the winter outside. All right. Elon Musk announces that press at twitter.com now auto-responds with crap. So people have tested it. They've sent an email to press at twitter.com and the press at twitter.com email responds a manure emoji. How cute. Go away, says Jeff. Australia is one of the least densely populated countries in the world. When will you accept that deserts serve the same purpose as cold climates? Come join me in the desert, people of the regular chat. Well, yeah, I've seen this in your movie, Mad Max. I've seen the desert of Australia, and perhaps it is a good strategy for survival. But I'm not going to move to Australia. Yeah, fuck this. No chance. No reason for me to do it. If I was stuck in Australia, maybe I would stay there. But I'm not going to move to Australia. The state of rights there is not appealing. It's soon going to be invaded by Asian populations. I don't see you surviving a war against China, to be honest. And it's going to happen. I mean, it's certainly going to happen. So all in all, and it's not like I might be interested at moving to China if I was single and I was looking for a Chinese girlfriend. And if, you know, the domination of Australia by China was complete, perhaps then it would start being attractive. But there's no chance I'm going there in its current state. Go away sends a super chat. He says, Australian state of Victoria to ban the Nazi salute following anti-trans rally. Wish we had these laws in 2017. Richard Spencer would have been a top political player today. And he sends me an article from The Guardian. okay, I will not show the article, but thanks for sending me the link. This whole conception that Richard Spencer would have been a big political player if it wasn't of the Nazi salute of that happened in his crowd. I don't buy this theory. I don't think it was that important, this Nazi gate or whatever it is called. The Nazi salute gate, the fact that some people in this crowd started making Nazi salute, I don't think it was that important. I don't think that events like this change the course of history. That is just a belief based on my understanding of the world. I was on the Troll Academy yesterday. It was a very interesting discussion. We went as deep as I wanted to go. It was a little disordered, a little more disordered than I thought it would be, because I had prepared a series of things to go through, but Mathieu was very dominant in the conversation and was constantly bringing it on side issues, so it's all good. It wasn't bad for this, but it wasn't as I had planned. but people are spamming already prepared posts. No, I'm deleting this. It's like, I don't have time to review your entire JPEG on the chat to determine if it fits within the rule, especially if you can clearly see from the first sentence what this subject is about. Exagod Podcast says, did I just get banned? No, I didn't ban you, but I'm going to remove your JPEG because it's just too much cognitive load for me to take subtle statements about Jews and determine, well, is it really in line with the rules? It's like, if I see you coming with a fully prepared JPEG with like a whole explanation about something, I'm not going to review it live, spend maybe 10 minutes thinking about all of the hidden possible languages in there. So no, fuck your JPEG, fuck your freedom of speech, fuck you as a human being. Jeremy Wayne says, I have been active on Twitter for a little over 3 years now. The number of university professors who have told me they agree with me. No, it's like, okay, now I'm banning you. Now I'm banning you. He comes back with a written form of the statement that was in the JPEG. at this point, you are just annoying me. At this point, you are just annoying me. I've been active on Twitter for a little over 3 years now. The number of university professors who have told me they agree with me but are in a situation, aka employed by a prestigious university where they can't say what they believe, the number would blow your mind. Oh yeah, well, pretty much everyone in the university sector knows how to shut up. And there's those who will take you to a beer at the bar, and they will drink some beer and they will tell you that. And then there's the ones who are so professional about it that they will always shut up in all situations. So, it is pretty much the overarching position within academia that you have to stay extremely in your lane. You cannot do anything like free speech, engagement on political stuff. There is no such thing as tenure anymore, by the way. There's all sorts of exceptions to the tenure rules, such that the university can argue, well, if you become a cost to our reputation, then we can get rid of you arbitrarily. And so then what? Then, oh, well, if you take positions for right-wing stuff, if you state stuff about race, or if you just get out of your lane a little bit, they're gonna trigger that contract provision and they're gonna fire you. So basically, free speech is done for the academia, which is why I'm out. UBS buys Credit Suisse while central banks take joint liquidity action. News squawk, US market open. So basically a series of events that are all in line with bank takeovers, bank transfers of liquidity, massive interventions by the central banks, all of it trends toward buy Bitcoin, all of it trends toward the initiation of another cycle that we thought we were exiting, this kind of free money printing type of trend. But it seems that we're back in it, and it's just beginning. What I'm afraid of is not so much what was deployed right now, but what will happen in the coming weeks. What if that doesn't work? Well, then you have the Fed stuck in a constant self-reinforcing loop of, well, we're going to put more money until it works. And eventually you end up with the exact state that we were in before the rate hikes, which is free money entering into the system through illegitimate means, leading to these gigantic big tech corporations that are just specialists at bringing lots of money from the stock market to them. And they end up having all sorts of employees that do nothing just because they have to justify getting so much money, and the money must flow into the population. So they hire all these useless employees. They don't even know what to have them do. And you end up with a zombie economy, an economy that wasn't trained to performance, production, and responding to people's need. Valet says, don't buy Bitcoin, buy a fishing boat and enjoy your life. Disclaimer, I do not give financial advice. Royal says, careful, BTC to fiat off-ramps are controlled by a handful of banks. Well, you know, I'm so annoyed, but there's so many people who come at me and they are in this Owen Benjamin type of trend of hating on Bitcoin. And it's like, you do whatever you want. But all of your paranoia and your stories around, people come to me and they're like, Bitcoin was pushed by the Fed much more than you recognize, JF. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What matters is that Bitcoin offers, and crypto, if you consider XMR, if you consider ETH, the whole ecosystem offers a path out of the system. And I believe that a path out of the system is what people will most need in the coming decades. And so it doesn't matter to me whether it's public, whether, oh my God, Jeff, we can track wallets. Go ahead, track my fucking wallets. What are you going to do about it? Like, you want to know how I don't care about having my wallet tracked? I bought a Bitcoin inscription. Inscription number 423252. I wrote in the Bitcoin inscription, this wallet is owned and maintained by Jean-François Garrier, PhD, author of The Revolutionary Phenotype, The Amazing Story of How Life Begins and How It Ends. You can trace the whole wallet from which it emerges, the whole wallet where it was delivered. You can trace the timestamp at which I bought this inscription. What are you going to do? Go, come at me, Antifa. What are you going to do? And so, you know, and what is the problem with the world knowing that a wallet exists? Most of you guys who benefit from much more privacy than I, most of you guys, people will not be able to associate your public address with your name. Maybe the government can if they have an in with the exchange where it originated, but even that, this you can counter. If that's what you're annoyed by, you can take a jump in XMR, then get out of XMR and get back in. Everything is possible. So for all the Bitcoin naysayers, I say, bro, stay poor. I don't give a shit. I'm buying Bitcoin. I don't care. I'm going to buy Bitcoin with everything I have. I still believe in Bitcoin. I still believe we are headed toward a massive bull run. What we're seeing today is just the beginning. It's just the beginning, and it's starting faster and more intense than I had predicted. But a lot of people also were sending me insults when I said, buy Bitcoin at 16K. It might be your last chance at 16K. And people were saying, JF, you are sending your sheep to the wolves. You are exchanges manipulate the price. Well, whoever plays with the price and whatever exchanges do, if you listen to Papa JF and you bought Bitcoin at 16K, you are sitting comfortably on almost 2x already. Almost 2x already. And who here is going to claim? Is there someone who's going to claim that Bitcoin will ever fall back to 16K? Because I called the bottom, motherfuckers, and I called it beautifully, beautifully. I called the exact bottom, and I got it. Is there someone who believes you can have Bitcoin at 16K for sure in the next year? I don't think you can. I don't think you can. I don't think it would be an honest prediction. At this point, we are at 28K approximately. It's going to be very hard for Bitcoin to fall back to 16K. 16K is very far behind already. Rodita Sid says, Jeff, I watched the Troll Academy stream. He was always bringing it back to Mayer Briggs. There are 12 categories in astrology, 16 in Mayer Briggs. It's not very good at categorizing people, but he seems to believe it's like scientifically true. These people are so annoying, and Mathieu was annoying with this. This whole... Oh, I'm an int TP, and you're an int J. Bro, what? Well, I'm like this, and so that's my personality, and your personality is the shadow of my personality. It's like a cheap Jordan Peterson. I would highly recommend Mathieu, you know, moves away. It's not that this test doesn't have any value, but it's like it's just a labeling and high level categorization of your types, psychological types. It makes the discussion very painful because you seem to be a big fan of it and all, but I don't see the world. Here I'm talking with an ant P here. Here, let me adopt an int J approach to the int P here. No, it's very feminine, Speaker's Corner. And this is the first time in which I doubt the heterosexuality of Mathieu. This whole conversation, you know, he had been with a beautiful woman. And Mathieu, you know, although he dresses as a 2 out of 10. Mathieu naked is a 9 out of 10. Mathieu is a muscular guy who does training. He dresses horribly. I mean, he dresses to the point where he looks like a 2 out of 10. No joke. But he's a 9 out of 10. If he could improve a little bit on his clothing appearances, he could totally pull 9 out of 10. And he was with a beautiful, beautiful woman with absolutely beautiful boobs. I don't know if he's still with her. I didn't dare ask him because you never know if he's been dropped or if she's still there or he doesn't want to talk about it. But how can this guy be so gay as to bring the NTP classifications of crap like this? Raised fist says, Jeff, but why didn't you say it to Mathieu yesterday instead of telling us now? Well, it's because I always think... Well, it's because basically you asked me about it. And it wouldn't cross my mind to interrupt the show where he's a host. He wants the show to take a certain direction. Wouldn't cross my mind to come on someone else's show and say, oh, that subject is not interesting. He has the best feeling for his audience, and perhaps that's what they enjoy. So I'm going to engage on the subject. But if you ask me today, JF, how gay is that? Pretty gay. Pretty gay. Biden kills bill to reverse ESG investing rule. The woke industrial complex scored a win on Monday after President Biden issued his first veto since taking office, rejecting a bill that would have reversed the Labor Department rule permitting fiduciaries to consider environmental, social, and governance factors when making investment decisions for retirement portfolios. So the bill would have reversed this rule. Biden rejects the bill. Therefore, ESG will dominate. So there's many inversions here. There was an allowance for people to make these environmental considerations. A bill would have reversed that rule. Biden rejects that bill. So Biden stands with ESG, and ESG will continue in those decisions. FedNow instant payments are coming and CBDCs will follow. So that's the technique that they have. There's absolutely no doubt that our financial system is in flux right now. We're watching a storm approach and it's about to envelop the entire nation in chaotic conditions. If you think things are crazy now, just hang on to your halo. It's about to get a whole lot worse. Yeah, so that's what we've seen being deployed, just liquidity strategies being deployed by the Fed in coordination with European banks, and the idea of instantaneity, instant payments, and all of this to help banks face the fact that they are lacking liquidity. And as far as lacking liquidity, there's a very good explanation of it by this guy.
I put 10,000 into the bank, they take my 10,000 and they go get 100,000. They borrow it from the Fed window. They get 10 times the amount of our deposits that we put into the bank. They then get 10 times the amount. They then take that 10 times the amount and they put it into treasury bonds or something else that's going to give them a yield of 7% or 6%. While they pay us what? 0.00.
So their business is not really in serving you and your deposits. Their business is your deposits gives them leveraged position into the market and they gamble on this. And when there's a bear market, always the worst players of the market, some of them might succeed, in which case they've enriched themselves and you still have your little $5 that you have in your bank account. But when it doesn't work, the bear market arrives, they get surprised, they lose all of their investment, and now they are in debt for even more than what you had originally deposited. So it's what's happening. It's leveraging, it's using a certain amount of having and trying to get more and trying to get too much. And Bitcoin solves that so beautifully. You can only spend the Bitcoin that you have. Period. That is the solution to this whole problem. Bitcoin solves it perfectly. Thomas Howard says, which is gayer, using a bidet and knowing your MB personality classification or having a finely tuned sense of gaydar? Here's the gayest. If you were using a bidet and then you would explain it to yourself in your own internal conversation by saying, oh, of course I'm using a bidet. I'm an int J. That would be gay. It turns out that JP Morgan bought the nickel that was actually a bag of rocks. Javis allegedly fabricated an enormous list of fake customers, a list of names, addresses, dates of birth, and other personal information for 4.265 million students who did not actually exist. In mid-January, they discovered that the giant U.S. bank was tricked into paying $175 million for some millennial's fake Rolodex to enhance its college financial aid platform. So I had covered this young lady. It was fascinating. She made up a fake... She made up a fake learning institutions with fake students, with fake everything. And they threw money at her because, oh yeah, female empowerment. Oh yeah, this is going to be successful. And so she attracted these flows of money from venture capitalism, and in this case, JP Morgan. And it was nothing. She invented 4.2 million students. Wow. That is taking it to a whole other level. Rudy Lucid says they just didn't do their due diligence. Yeah, I mean, just you can have an idea of the entries and outs of a business. Like, give me your bank account. Let's look at your bank account. Let's see if there are 4 million payments from 4 million students. I mean, this will leave traces. You're going to have something to show me. But I guess they didn't do it seriously. A record $304 billion in weekly FHLB debt issuance ends at staggering size of U.S. bank run. Look, I don't even understand the full meaning of these discount window borrowing. I think it's pretty much what the guy was explaining. You know, the leverage that the guy was explaining in the video. But look at this. Whatever that graph is, it's worrying. Because historically, you had this peak along the 2008 financial crisis. And look at how quick it got here. I mean, at least in this peak, there was kind of a little shaking and and up, up, up. But here it's like, boom, rectangular rise to the maximum ever reached in history. So, of course, as we first said last week, just how many deposits fled small banks for the systematically important competitors will go some way into shaping the market's view of how enduring or systemic the pressure on small financial institutions will be moving forward. So basically, there's movements of money toward the big guys, and that's what generates these discount window borrowing, this opportunity to get more money as their deposits can now be reported as they have a lot of money. These big guys. Well, but this is the small guys and the others, the people who are abandoned by the competition, basically, by their client, by their customers. they are suffering from the rise of a monopolistic or oligopolistic control in the financial sector. So that's what seems to be happening here. Brian Krasenstein, I've never had any opinion on this guy. My understanding is he's some kind of Democrat leftist on Twitter who's kind of trolling and pushing forward always Democrat talking points. He's been caught on camera revealing, of course we get paid, you know, of course the higher ups pay us, people pay us, they want us to help sow division.
Is that your job?
I have several businesses, but you know, the Resistance is a really good group of people. It's spread throughout the country, probably throughout the world. I mean, it's just what I enjoy spending my time doing. And of course we get paid, you know, of course those higher ups pay us.
So you're paid for this? It's not just like something you do because for your love of country?
Yeah. People pay us, they want us to help sow the division and to take over Trump's Twitter feed. When he makes a post, they want our tweets to be up there. They don't want other people to, like Trump supporters, to be seen in that.
So they are trying to occupy the public space, and they are paying people like him. I've never paid attention to this guy because I don't know anything interesting he's ever said. Blizzard Stream says, apparently this is a prank by the brothers, JF. Prank, not prank. Okay, thanks for letting me know so that we inform the audience. I don't even care about interpreting this video. I don't doubt that there are agents on the social media that are being paid, that are basically paid actors, that are paid for making certain things happen. I have zero doubt about this. I'm sure it is happening. Lots of what I observe on social media across the years, I've seen a lot of what seems to be non-natural. So first you have coordinated campaigns where you can see different accounts using the same wordings. Greta Thunberg has been exposed for this, among other things. Bots coordinating, excitement around a subject that sometimes you're like, from a news perspective, this is not interesting. Why is everyone talking about this? So I've seen across the years the signs of a definitive player behind the veil. A player behind the veil who controls these things and makes them happen. No doubt that it happens, in my view. So we are headed toward the conclusion. Last news item before we close the show. Oops, I dropped my screw. I have a screw that fell from my chair and I was holding it in my hand. Putin tells Xi he's open to negotiating process on Ukraine, as US says ceasefire is unacceptable. What's being described as an initial informal meeting between President Xi and Putin is underway at the Kremlin, while the expected cordialities and expressions of closer relations were exchanged. Among the most notable early statements came from Putin, who said he's open to peace talks with Ukraine and China's mediation efforts. All right, but that is not particularly new. Putin has been always extending the olive branch on this issue of Ukraine, and always has been willing to engage on this point. And we saw Xi Jinping show some friendship toward Putin. I saw a clip where he was telling Putin that he is a friend of Russia. So yes, these two will always be friends in the foreseeable future. And it's understandable that they meet like this, but nothing special to report. Big Tech Exodus says, it's a prank, bro, being fully exploited. Yeah, it's like, if you're stupid enough to do a prank like this, I have zero respect for you. If it's not a prank, I have zero respect for you. So, as far as the Krasenstein story, I have zero respect for these people. I don't even know who they are. I don't care. I don't want to hear about them. If they ever say something important, let me know.